So I want to, he's given me a little bit, our next step in our series, we're teaching on growing in grace, and that, you know, we hope that by now you realize that that's what we're supposed to be doing, growing, that he desires us to change, that we not be the same every day or year after year, even though physically we know we're changing. We can look in the mirror and tell there's certain signs that have come upon us of age. But he wants our spirit man, our spirit life, to also grow and change. He wants us to be changed by the word of God, not just to know it, not just to know where it is, not just to even just speak it, but to allow it to manipulate our life, where we may have been harsh at sometimes, that we not be as harsh any longer. Where we might not have loved in a situation, but that now we all love in those situations. Well, we begin to put aside certain things that happen and occur to us that will cause us to be dragged down by the enemy and put a guilt trip on us or a condemnation, that those things begin to be relaxed, that we'll grow past those things, that we don't take offense lightly, that it doesn't come on us so easily as it used to, that we begin to nourish and cherish the word that gives us power and might, the joy that comes and springs forth from the word of God, so that we can surpass all of those things. I don't care about what Sister So-and-so is doing, Brother So-and-so, and how their life is faring or what's going on with them. I want my life to change, and I want to see my life be different. I want to look at myself and go, I have conquered this thing. I have conquered that thing, or whatever it is. I want to see me making roads and head roads into growing into spiritual maturity. I believe that God desires that. He wouldn't have put it in the word if he didn't want us to grow, right? He wouldn't have put it there if there wasn't a spiritual maturity in which we can attain to. He wouldn't have said that he'd given us gifts, ministry gifts, and also other gifts, to help us to come together as one in unity. You know, the coming together as one is a part of spiritual maturity. When you begin to see one another and not take at fault or not take so easily the offense that may come from a brother or sister. You know, we know he desires for us to forgive one another. But not only that, others are also people that we don't know that we should be praying for, obviously. Praying for those people, praying for our situations that to occur. Again, we saw through the news that the enemy is working. His strategy is not lessened. We know what it is. His desire is to kill, steal, and destroy. And he's going to keep doing that. But as saints of God, we are the ones who have the power and authority to pray, to cause those things to be relaxed, to cause his strategies to come to naught, to cause his strategy to come on them that are making the strategy. That's what the Bible says that he does. And it's all throughout the Psalms, David would pray. And he said, whatever they said will come on me, let it come on them. Right? They're the ones bringing the bad and the hardships on them, and we are causing and the goodness of God to go forth because he is good. Amen? This series is called Growing in Grace. We know that there are levels of growth that the Bible talks about. He talks about newborn babes. He talks about the child of God stage. He talks about the young adult stage, a young man, a woman. He talks about adult stage and then spiritual maturity. And we want to grow up so we can call ourselves spiritual mature. When can we consider ourselves to be that? The series is teaching us that if we're still doing certain things, then maybe we haven't gone as far as we need to. If we're still struggling with some of the things that newborn babes do, then maybe we haven't gotten a hold of some of the truths that's in the word that moves us closer to God, and that we should begin to seek those things to get out of those instances where that may be considered newborn, that the Bible points out and says that. We're in the stage there now. Our place where we are is called the childlike stage. And the Bible, I think two-thirds of it that Paul talks about is directed toward those. Because, you know, it's hard for us to get out of our flesh, to put our flesh down, to take authority over the passions of our senses. and to allow the spirit man to come forth. So God has put in the word of God a lot about that stage. We talked about the kingdom of God belongs to the children of God. So as a child, we should understand the environment by which God has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, Jesus. Place where he dwells. We're not like, and now I'm trying to make us too much different, but we're not like the world. We don't want to be like the world. Our physicalness, our physical nature may look like them. We may dress like them. We may look like them in our facial features or whatever. We may walk according to, our gait may be the same or something like that. Our jobs may be in the same place. But we are not operating according to the same emphasis that they are. We are operating according to the word of God. That's what makes us different. Our supervisors or the people in charge of our companies may come down with a new principle or a new rule. And people may start complaining because they don't like what the new rule said. But when you hear the rule, it affects you differently than it affects them. Why? Because you are in a different place. Your whole focus is not on the same focus as their focus is. It strikes you differently. Matter of fact, it may even bless you where others may not be blessed. It may clarify for you some things that God has been trying to do with you. It's the same thing in our government. Laws that are made or things that come forth, we're praying that they all become more godly and righteous and have peace in our government and in the times where our countries are at war. We want peace to come. Things are being done. We know that rules are made and authorities are doing things, but sometimes they're not for our good. And we need to take our position as Christians and begin to war in the spirit so that we begin to affect what's taking place, even if it just doesn't affect me. You talk about inflation. Inflation goes up, and oh my God, we're not going to have enough money to do blah, blah, blah. But not for you and I, because inflation doesn't have anything to do with God's economy, God's principles, God's flourishness, his way of giving, his way of causing us to be blessed. You say, what do you mean? It does affect me. Well, only if you allow it to. Bible says that we're to go and do things according to what the word of God says, even in our giving. We're to do it according to him. One place he tells us, I've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging bread. That tells me a whole lot even right there. You will never go hungry, ever, as long as you stay in the place where God is. I don't care whether you have money or not. You and I never will go hungry, never. The Bible says it so. Either I'm going to believe it or not, right? So people in the kingdom of God, we need to start thinking about that. There's a saying that me and my wife developed, we'll say, well, this situation, how much of this situation affects the kingdom of God? You get into a place where your boss man says something or things may be happening in the paper or news may come forth or wars may be. How much does those things affect what's happening in the kingdom of God? That's how important they are. Because if they affect the kingdom of God, then you should pay attention. But according to what the Bible says, the kingdom of God is suffer violent, the violent take it by force. The children understand that we rule and reign when we're walking in the kingdom. I can't be concerned about that circumstance. Some of you have chronic pain or chronic sickness or, deal with COVID-19 and flus and all kinds of stuff, stiffness in your body and bones. And we're aging and getting older, and of course that causes certain things to happen to us, right? And you say, well, how do you live through those things? The same way, allow them not to affect you as much as they affect the kingdom of God. We are still the healed. Whether we're going to the doctor and taking medication or not, you are still the healed. You have to believe that. And that will come to pass in this life, on this earth, or in the next. Right? Eventually, you will be healed. Or we won't have a body to worry about it. So you say, well, this is that's radical. That's why I can't, are you going to allow it to affect you to cause things? We got a call last night about church services and snow and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, and I remember thinking to myself, I said, well, you know, if I get up in the morning and there's snow covered, then I have an answer, right? But if I get up in the morning and it's just cold, guess where we're going? We're going to the house of God. There's no obstruction. There's nothing there to stop us from going. I don't have a four-wheel drive vehicle, so even some snow inches, I would even venture to drive through. But I'm just trying to give you, you and I, we're on a different plane. We think a little different than most people. Why? Because we are in relationship with somebody that's different than them. We're in relationship with God. And our things should follow after his things and not other people's things. And this is, and a lot of you know that already. I'm just encouraging you as the new year begins and as we go through this fast. I have signed on. I'm going to be at the church every day, God willing, 5:30. It's 5:30, 6:30, I'll open the church. We can come in and you can pray. You can bring a group of people. You can pray. You can come by yourself. Pray wherever you are. You don't have to do it. Don't come. If you don't want to come, don't. Do what God tells you to do. I'm just saying that we're making this available to you for the next 21 days. We're endeavoring for things to happen and change in our circumstances, in our life individually, and in the church's life. Amen. I know a lot of you are saying, well, why aren't we growing? And you're thinking, well, where are the people? Well, let's fast and pray that God bring people. The north, the east, the south. That's one of the things that's on my list as I'm praying these next 21 days. Open up the floodgates. Give us whatever we need, Father God, to allow this place to just grow with people full of the Spirit of God, not full of the Spirit of God, people who need to be saved. People who are newborn, children of God, people that are old age and young age, however they more are, want to be. Let's see it filled to capacity. Amen? Let's pray until it's filled to capacity. How about that? Till we can tell God, okay, God, hold on, stop it. We ain't got no more chairs. We got no more space. We got to build a new building. Let's pray until that happens. Amen? Let's pray. Why can't we pray that? We can pray that. Can we pray that? We can. We can pray that. We have loved ones that are still not decided that they want to serve God. And they're doing some crazy stuff. And you know, you can see their lives. Some of them are at shipwreck. Some of them are at the point where they need Jesus. Some of them are still just kind of, floating along. However they may be, put them on your list. Let's pray till they become saved. Let's pray today. We see them born again. Even if it's in the place where they're on their deathbed and you have to go and hear them whisper, I want to serve Jesus. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that. It's just you and I taking responsibility, right, for what God has given us, the power of prayer, of an effectual man, prays much, right? The righteous man affects much. Let's do it. Let's just do it. See what God does in our stead for us. Amen? So we've been talking about children of God, kingdom of God. Belongs to the children. Lots of stuff about the kingdom. Oh, my God, so much. But then we got into the children walk in the Spirit. They live in the Spirit. They live according to what we're trying to say is according to Galatians 5:23, the fruit of the Spirit. The children of God walk in the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. And when you're operating in the fruit of the Spirit, you are walking in the spirit. Love, joy, peace coming forth from you. You're walking in the spirit. Whenever those things take a hold of you and start to manifest, you and I are walking in the spirit. We don't have to grow it, right? We don't have to put a seed in and dig a hole and, you know, water, all that kind of stuff. It's already part of us. We just have to allow it to come forth. When the Spirit unctions us, he knows we need it at that particular time. Just allow him to let it come out. He said, well, how difficult is it? First step is to take authority over the thought that will rule over the gift or over the fruit, right? There's a thought that comes, oh, you're going to make a really loud noise right now because I'm mad. That thought comes, and then take authority over your mouth and don't say it. Don't allow it to come out your mouth. You hear the thought coming and you want to be mad. I do. I do want to be mad. I want that really harsh word to come out of my mouth. I can feel it coming. All you got to do is grab it. I'm not going to say that. Well, what are you going to say? Mostly nothing. I better keep my mouth shut because if I do open my mouth, that thing's coming out. And I don't want it to come out. I want to be gentle. And then we talked about that last time. I want to be gentle. I don't want to be harsh. I want to be forgiving. I want to be loving. I want to have peace. Those are the things I want manifesting out of my life. I don't want to yell all the time. Why? I got to yell at them unruly children all the time. You know what? Them unruly children are going to be unruly whether you yelling at them or not. So why don't you show some peace? Maybe that'll calm them down. What? What happened to me at work? I had a coworker that was, he was belligerent. He was unruly. He just loved to argue. And I somehow got in his cross airs in his way. He came to my office and stood in front of my desk, and he was yelling at me. And I was looking at him. I'm standing up right on the other side of my desk, and he's yelling. I said, what's he yelling at? And I'm getting riled up. You don't like people yelling at you, especially people you don't know. He's just a coworker. He's not in my family. And he yelling at me? He better watch out. It was boiling. And the Spirit of God told me this. He said, sit down. And I said, what? I heard the Spirit of God say, sit down. So I sat down. He's yelling. I sat down. Guess what he did? He sat down. It lowered his voice. He wasn't yelling as much. So I said, we got something going here. He kept on going. He was going, and then the Spirit of God said, say this to him. And he said, and say it very quietly. How can I help you? I said that just like that. I couldn't hear myself because he was, you know, his voice was still kind of loud. But I said that, it was almost kind of like under my breath. And he stopped and he said, what'd you say? He stopped yelling. What's going on? The Spirit on the inside of me is taking control of the situation, right? And commanding it. He's being used by the enemy. Because my life to be off track, right? To cause me to be offended. To cause me to say some things that he can then go and gossip about it throughout my whole workplace. What I did and what I said. I was taken away, or the Spirit of God was taking away his power to do that. Just by that simple gesture and those simple words. After he calmed down and asked me what I said, I said, what can I help you with? And then he said what he needed to say, and we were able to work out the situation. Isn't that interesting? Oh, he plagued me. Oh, how long was it? It had probably been, I don't know, maybe 20 years. I worked in the library before. He called me to his office. I was sitting down there, and he said, you know, I went to church the other night with my wife, and there was a minister there that talked about Jesus. And I want to say to you, will you forgive me for treating you like I did. Tell me that he didn't get changed. Tell me he didn't get saved. Yes, he did. And he knew what he was doing. And he remembered that, or either God showed him that, and he came and asked for forgiveness. And I told him, brother, you didn't bother me one bit. Because I'm on another plane. I'm not going to take offense, right? I didn't say, oh, right, you need to forgive. No, I was in another place. And I was like, well, I did receive it. Because you should receive people who feel like they need to say forgiveness to you. You know, to help them get to the next place where they need to go. Oh, he became a precious brother. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You just don't know. This guy, he was propagating it all over the library. He was the number one morale breaker. He could ruin the morale of the whole library. All his people, because he was just so bad. He got saved, and God turned him around. And I don't know if I was part of that witness. I'm sure I was a little bit part of it, but you know, God did it. Amen. He didn't have me to say, oh, what about that guy? He's supposed to be a Christian. What's he doing? Right? He saw me not do what he probably thought I would have done, or what others may have been doing. And that's what God wants from us. Don't do what the devil wants you to do. Don't be the pawn for him. That old ruthless guy, good day. Don't do nothing he say. But do everything God say. Amen? Anyway, so we walk in the Spirit. And I was not going to concentrate on the fruit of the Spirit. I was just going to do it just like I did the fruit of the flesh. You know, we talked about the different fruit that comes from Galatians. I did that in one session. I was going to just do all the fruit in one session. And the Spirit of God said, I want you to do each one. So that's why we're here doing each one. And I know we all know what the fruit of the Spirit are. And some of us have memorized them. And I'm just reminding you. That's all I'm doing. Reminding you of what they are. So you know what our, our time is gone. We won't be going to the next one. If you give me 10 minutes, I'll get you out here by 9:45. Is that okay? Everybody's okay. Is it snowing out there? I can't see. All right, so we'll talk about next one. The next one is goodness. And most of the time people say, you know, oh, you know what, Timbo, I know what goodness is. Well, you remember that I did a teaching on good deeds, because that's something that I think that most Christians don't realize, that we are the proponents of good deeds. We're the ones that are helping others. We're the one who are giving to the poor. We're the ones who are speaking nice things over people that are belligerent and who are ugly. We're the ones who are praying for the ones that should be praying for these people who are killing innocent people. You know, and we're the ones who's praying for peace for war, in the wartime, for Ukraine, for in those situations where people are being abused. We're the ones that are praying. We're the ones who are praying for the unborn babies. We're praying not only for the babies, but we're praying for the mothers that are causing the abortions to come. We're praying for them. Why? Because we don't want those things. We want righteousness to reign. We're not responsible for them. Think of this. We're not responsible for their sin. We're not responsible for the homosexual, the lesbian that's gone out and done crazy stuff. We're not responsible, but we are responsible to pray. Pray for them. Pray that their hearts be changed. It is nothing for God to change and turn around the heart. And we know, maybe you don't know any, but I know lesbians and homosexuals who have turned. I went to college with a guy. He was in the choir that I directed on campus. He was gay as the day is long, I'm telling you. And he was singing up a storm. And we just prayed. It took a little while. He was in the choir for, I think, 2 years. By the time he left, he had made a commitment to God. He thought he already had. Well, he sort of. He wanted God to change it, but he couldn't get out of that lifestyle. But one day the Holy Spirit got a hold of him, changed his perspective on life. Just a little bit. I mean, it's a wonder to see God do his work. It's a wonder. And we don't have to do anything but, oh, I shouldn't say that. We have to do one thing, which is pray. The but pray is pray. But we can do other things as well if God puts us in those situations. And we had. He befriended us, me and Sherry. And so we'd invite him over for dinner, and we talk and, you know, fellowship a little bit. And, you know, he saw what real Christians do. Not this, you know, hypocritical thing where sometimes you do this and sometimes you do that. That's why he kept coming. That's why he kept coming, because he was like, there's something going on. These people are different. What? Well, how different are they? We were just loving God. And by doing that, we were loving him. We didn't talk about homosexuality and how he got into it and what it was doing to his life and how he was going to hell if he didn't stop. And we didn't do any of that. We just loved him. We talked about Jesus. Ain't God good? God will get you going this way and that way. Great is he that's in you. He's in the word. You're more than a conqueror. God loves you. That's all. Talk about the word. Got in him enough. Changed his life. We had lesbians playing in the music band at Christian Growth Center. Oh, what? Oh, yeah. Oh, many, many years. Y'all say, well, did you know? They didn't know. We knew on the praise team. And we were like, oh, my God. Jesus, help us. Anointed. I mean anointed. Do you hear me? They could play. One was on the drums. One was the bass player. Today, one's an evangelist. I don't know what the other one is, but one of them is an evangelist. Turn life around. I hear about the second one. Maybe she did, maybe she didn't. I don't know. But they were there. They were their lives they thought were hidden, right? Because if they knew, if somebody knew, they wouldn't be playing there. But we found out, why didn't we run and tell the pastors? Ooh, you knew and didn't tell your pastors that you got lesbians in your church playing in the music band. Oh. Well, we prayed. And the Spirit of God said, shut your mouth. Are we going to disobey God? How bad a situation could come by being disobedient to the Spirit of God? If he'd have said, you need to go tell them, then guess what we would have done? We would go tell. We weren't going to be disobedient to God, but God said, don't say a word. The pastors eventually found out. And they weren't expelled, but they were set down. And during that time of sitting, one of them I know repented and changed her life. She's an evangelist today, going around the world. And you might even know if I tell you, but I'm not going to tell you. You don't need to know. Beautiful sister in the Lord. God, whew. They were wonderful to fellowship with. They won't rush or harsh or evil or any of those things. But it's how you and I, right, respond. All right, so let's talk about goodness for 5 minutes. And then we'll go to the house. And it is goodness, right? I am on goodness, right? I think I'm on goodness. Because we did gentleness, and gentleness is goodness, right? Gentleness, goodness. Yes, gentleness, goodness, then faith, clothed in meekness. Now, how many of you want to be good? Everybody wants to be good. But you need to understand something. The Bible tells us there's no one good but God. So what's he really saying there? Can I be good? I can be good, but I can't be good without God. That's what he's trying to tell you. Why? Because it can deceive you into thinking that you have done something that you didn't do. Right? Oh, I'm going to go give to the poor, and Jesus is going to bless me because I'm giving to the poor. That's right. I'm going to go over here, and I'm gonna speak the word of salvation to these people over here in the chair. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. I'm going to be a good person because, you know, they are out there doing devilish things. So we're making decisions within ourselves to be good. It's what the world does. Before I got saved, God said, "Are you good?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, I haven't done any sin." What do you mean you hadn't sinned? Are you saved? No, I'm not really saved. But how can you call yourself good then? People in the world believe that they are good. People in the world believe that when they are giving, donating, when they're doing the angel tree, that they're I'm being good. When they see somebody on the street and they hand them a few dollars, they believe that they're being good. And because they're doing that, they think they're going to heaven. They have been deceived. Because there's no one good but God. And the only good that you and I can do is through him. So you say, well, I can look at that and, you know, what's the boy's name? Bezos. He gives billions of dollars. He donates billions of dollars. His wife, I think, gave $4.5 billion to some organization, some charity. I'm thinking, he can think by doing that he's good, and that then buys him a seat beside Jesus. I don't think he thinks that. But he could think that, right? Because I'm giving. Bill Gates, you know, I'm giving all this money. I'm doing a good thing. Without me, you know, those Negroes may not have gotten them scholarships to go to college. Yeah, you know, he gives to the Negro College Fund. That's why I said that. Didn't mean to be offensive in anybody's thought. And he could think, I'm doing good. What's the disease? Not malaria, but the start with the E. Not E. coli. What's the Ebola? He gave so that they could have a cure over in the Middle East, or over in Africa. I can't remember where. But he was giving money so that have medication go, right? And he could say, I saved all those people. They're all going to be healed because of me. He can't do that. When he stands before God, God will say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. Why would God say that? Of a person, even people that would heal and prophesy in his name, he's going to say that to them. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. You people who work not under the authority and permission of God. So when you and I don't work or don't do things under the authority and permission under the word of God, we are working iniquity. Iniquity is an evil thing. It is part of the fall of man. It is part of what made Lucifer fall, doing things out of commission with God, doing things by his own volition, doing things by his own will, instead of in conjunction with the Spirit of God. Christians all over the world are doing that now. They're doing things and naming it, I'm doing this for God. But it's a working iniquity. He said it's an evil thing.
So you, why are you? I want us to realize as Christians we have this appointed direction. It's precise. It's very. What'd you say? Concrete. It's very concrete way of doing things. And God wants us in that way. So when you get to heaven and you thought about lined up all the good things that you think should be part of what you should be rewarded for, and God says, burn that stuff up, that's wood, wood, straw and hemp and stubble. Sorry. And you go, he burnt up all the stuff. What happened, God? He said, you need to come and bow down unto me and receive the things that I am saying to you. Because it doesn't matter how many things. I mean, he could tell Julie to do 1,000 things. And I could be watching her. Oh, man, she's doing, I want to do that. I want to do that. I want to do that. And I could be following after Julie. Because Julie's doing, oh, she looks so good. Oh, I want to go do that. Oh, she looks so happy. I want to be happy. I want to go do that. And follow after. Well, it's good for her. God said it's good for her. It must be good for me. Well, not so particular. He may let that go on a little while, but there's going to come a time when he's going to look at you. He says, well, I don't want you to do that exactly. Why don't you do this? Well, you say, well, Julie's not doing that. What Julie got to do with that? Julie's not, well, God, you know, I've been following you. And, you know, I know she's following Christ. Shouldn't I follow her? That's like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, right? That's got to be right, right? Sounds right. But when the Spirit of God says to you, okay, I want you to just change it just a little bit. She's got on a Virginia Tech shirt. You wear another shirt. Well, God, I don't know. I got to put on a Virginia. She got on a Virginia. I want to put on one. Why I can't put on one? Because she got, because I don't want you to wear. I want you to wear a West Virginia shirt. What? I got to wear a West Virginia shirt. What? Well, I got to wear. She doesn't wear a West Virginia shirt. She's wearing a Virginia Tech shirt. I want to wear. See how we can get? We get like, y'all, come on. Y'all know we get just like that. And God is just simply trying to say, I got something specific for you. You and I, you and me together. Yes, you can be as great as what Julie is doing, but you got to be with me in doing that. Isn't that simple? And it's so simple. And it's, to me, it's called goodness. The goodness of the Lord. I didn't get to go where I wanted to go, but praise God, he's a good God, amen? And I know you enjoyed him this morning. I'm going to pray and just remind you about getting involved in the fast. It doesn't have to be a whole lot of meals or, you know, I do recommend, like the pastor did, that it be something that you put in your mouth. You know, I know he kind of played down, well, I'm gonna not do sodas, or I'm not gonna do sugar, or I'm not gonna, you know, kind of separate it out. But I'm telling you, do whatever the Spirit of God says do. If he says lay down sodas for this time, then do the sodas. You know, if he says lay down, you say, why you say sodas? Because that's me. If he says lay down sugar, or don't eat bread, or oh, don't eat meat, or just all one. If he says one meal, just don't do a lunch, or don't do breakfast, or whatever. And but at that time, this is the important thing. When you do it, always set a time that you're going to pray for whatever that list is that you came up with and that he's put on your heart. Decide. Just decide. Okay, I'm laying aside breakfast. It usually take me 15, 20 minutes to eat. I'm going to take that 15, 20 minutes, and I'm going to pray for an invitation, an appointment with Almighty God, for him to do something in my life, to him to spring forth his glorious light and make a change. so we can go through 2025 really being under his authority, calling ourselves Christians. Amen? Amen.